You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, local, state, national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm moving to number two in the triple dipper. We'll see if I can get to number three, Booms. I don't know. We'll see. But number two of the triple dipper, this is unique, all right? Usually the dippers are themselves a thematic, you know, they kind of run a theme or a storyline or even one story from different angles. Not this time. I began to find so many stories, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I make a dipper out of that. No, I couldn't find anything else, so I'll just, what do I do with that one story? And then I found several of the one stories. So I thought, you know what, all these one stories are one-offs, but they're stories that you might want to hear about. So I decided to go ahead and do a whole segment I call In Other News. And I got to tell you, a couple of stories, actually, I found during the last commercial break, and I'm throwing them in because one of them relates to one I have in my hands. And another one, though, is just the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard. I told Boomer, I said, here's a headline you don't usually see.
Yes, I'm excited for you to mention this one because it is very, very just
this is like
weird.
This is like when we used to do Logan and the, or Boomer and the Birdman.
Right. And, this would have been one. Yeah.
This would have been one of the weirdest stories you could find. Tennessee Transportation Department workers discover a human heart in a salt pile.
Whoa.
What the heck? So here's the deal. You know, road salt, the kind they put on the roads during icy or storm or snowy weather. Tennessee Bureau of Investigation said that an initial examination determined the heart did belong to an adult male. An employee from the Tennessee Department of Transportation discovered a human heart in a salt pile at a state government facility. What the heck?
Wait, at a state facility?
Yeah, I mean, this is basically, it's the state DOT, you know, storehouse with the salt piles. They load them up into trucks, take them out, put them on the roads.
Could you imagine you driving down there? Look, there was a human heart, babe. Like, no, I promise it wasn't on the road.
Yeah. What's that?
Wow.
Anyway, they're trying to figure out why. They're doing DNA testing. They have determined it did belong to an adult male. I'm under the assumption here that, you know, salt preserves meats and that kind of thing. I'm under the assumption that the heart was somewhat preserved by being in a salt pile, but how did it get there in the first place?
That is the question.
That's a weird question.
That's a weird question.
All right, the next story I've got. So Donald Trump has been known to be Donald Trump. I mean, he does his thing, and usually doesn't care what people think. This time I thought he should need to start caring what people think because I saw this story, and I thought, what's going on? So if you remember a few days ago, the former president announced that he had a big special announcement, like, you know, going to be big doings. And it was coming on Thursday. And people were speculating all over the nation. I saw it on digital social media, people saying things like, what's it going to be? He's going to name who his vice president would be. He's going to talk about a major policy decision. His special major announcement turned out to be that he had digital trading cards of himself in various character poses as things like a cowboy, an astronaut, a Superman, and they were like digital trading cards. And I'm like, what? I mean, like, womp, womp, womp. This is like the biggest letdown. Do we have that sound effect? We did have that sound effect. All right, let me do that one more time. It's like I felt like, perfect. That's the way I felt. I mean, I'm looking at it thinking, first of all, Mr. President, who advised you? And like Ben Shapiro came out and joked about it. Thank God the digital trading cards are here. What a major announcement. While he was doing that, DeSantis was signing legislation cutting traffic tolls for commuters. I mean, like basically cutting taxes in a sense. People are out there saying, you know, whoever advised you of this needs to be fired. Well, then, okay, I had this story. That's from Fox News. I had this story in my possession as I came into the studio today, and yet, lo and behold, I just happened to see right before I came back on the air. So New York Post has a story right now that says that Donald Trump's trading cards sold out in the first day and doubled in value. Come on. So first of all, I don't understand how digital trading cards work, but apparently it's almost like Bitcoin, I understand. It's like they call them a non-fungible trading card. But there are all these images of him in these super, you know, high-speed poses as an astronaut, as a cowboy on the range, as a boxer, as a, you know, superhero figure wearing a cape and everything. And they literally, y'all, I kid you not, the article here says they sold out on the first day. Trump made over $4 million on these cards.
That's crazy.
Boomer,
I don't fully understand it.
Some people make money when they sleep.
Just like that. I mean, is there a particular card that is like the highest of value, I wonder? Like, is it him as an eagle or a or a fireball?
Probably riding an eagle. There's got to be one of him riding an eagle somewhere.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if there's like one, like the rarest one that's worth more than the others.
I don't know, but it says that all 44,000 of the limited edition non-fungible trading cards, which depict the 76-year-old as a cartoon cowboy, a sheriff, a race car driver, and other fantastical outfits, have sold for more than $4 million by 1:30 p.m. on Friday. That's 24 hours.
Wow.
The floor price of the haul stood at around $214 up Thursday. Bottom line is they increased in value from – every card has increased in value from roughly $99 per card. $99 per card. Each are now considered to be worth upwards of $214 per card. One rare version of the non-fungible tokens featured Trump holding a torch in front of the Statue of Liberty was listed with a floor value of almost $24,000 because it was so rare. It was the rarest. There you go.
There it is. Okay.
In total, it says 45,000 of the digital cards were produced, but only 44,000 offered for sale. And here's the thing. There were at least 115 customers who bought 45 of them. That means they spent themselves roughly $4,500, which is the minimum number required to then get an invitation to have dinner with Trump at Mar-a-Lago.
Whoa.
You talk about this feels like a snake oil plan, and the dude made money. Okay, man. There's that story. I hadn't planned on spending that much time on it, but it was so awkward I had to go ahead and just go for it. All right, other stories in the news. This is all stuff in the news, just, you know, in other news, all right? I'm totally switching gears here. Brace yourselves. I'm not on that anymore. I'm not doing weird stories. This one is from AL.com. William Thornton, I know William Thornton, good dude. William Thornton wrote this piece yesterday. Huntsville is expected to become one of America's biggest and most affordable real estate markets in 2023, in the top 10 in the nation. So, AL.com reports Huntsville has been named one of the top 10 markets to watch in the coming year. Basically, if you're a homeowner in Huntsville, you've got some valuable real estate in your hands. Probably I would include Madison in that, to be honest with you. Madison, out there towards Hampton Cove, Owens Crossroads. Gurley, Harvest. It says, in fact, according to the recent analysis, it is the most affordable among the top 10. A forecast for 2023 by the Association of Realtors anticipates that next year will be the turning point where more buyers return to the market as inflationary pressures cool. However, it says the housing market remains somewhat tight, and that's based on inventory. Several factors went into the top 10. Things like better affordability than the national average, more renters who can afford to buy, the percentage of information industry jobs, and the migration gains in workers who telecommute. Wow. All right. Here's the other interesting thing, Boomer-san. All 10 of the top 10 cities in the nation are located in the South.
Really?
Sweeping from Texas to the Carolinas, all 10 of the number one real estate markets in the nation are in the South.
Everybody wants to come to the South.
Everybody wants to be an SEC fan.
SEC.
All right, there's some news for you.
Man.
All right, speaking of things happening in Alabama, here's one right here in our neck of the woods. All right, so Boomer and I have, for a long, many years, seen the Goodyear plant in Gadsden. So the Goodyear plant in Gadsden, if you're not familiar, folks, at one point, the Goodyear plant building tires in Gadsden, I mean, I'm talking people throwing tires, you know, making, you know, the rubber composition and building out the tires that we ride in our cars, it was the largest tire manufacturing plant in the world for a period of time. It was part of the driving force of the economy in Northeast Alabama. And a couple years ago, after almost a hundred, maybe more than 100 years, the Goodyear plant closed down for good. And I'll be honest, unions pretty much killed it. They couldn't sustain that plant anymore with the union contracts. When I was in the legislature, I was part of the group that was fighting to keep the plant open. I even, just the other day, I found a letter from Governor Bentley in my desk promising to do all he could to help us maintain the Goodyear plant. Mm. Well, the Goodyear plant finally closed down, but good news is on the horizon. ABC 3340 reports that the Goodyear plant, which has sat dormant now for the last 2 years, I mean, it's a huge facility.
Oh, it's really big.
3 million square feet. Massive. Man. And it's also, it's an iconic image in Gadsden because of the clock tower. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, looking at the clock tower or the tower at Tuscaloosa or Sanford Hall in Auburn. The symbol of the clock tower at Goodyear in Gadsden has been a symbol of that community for so many years. Mm. The city announced the nearly 3 million square foot factory was bought by Phoenix Investors, a national commercial real estate firm based out of Wisconsin. According to the firm's website, the core of its work is revitalizing former manufacturing facilities across the country. The new mayor, Craig Ford, says the current plan is to divide up the space so that upwards of 40 to 50 different businesses could be located there. He said that right now, it appears that we could have an anticipated up to 1,200 to 1,500 jobs. And I want to say, at their height, Goodyear had close to 3,000 jobs at that plant at one point. So they're looking at, you know, within the next 3 to 6 months, they've already had several non-disclosures signed with different companies. He said he can't tell you what their details are. It could be anything from mixing rubber, which I'm sure those facilities still exist in there, mixing rubber to making soap. He said we've heard all kinds of things. But right now, Phoenix out of Wisconsin has bought the plant. It sits on 156 acres, 3 million square feet, right smack in the middle of town. And I'd be excited to see that place active again. That was a huge part of my 8 years in the legislature. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. We'll come right back. I got several other things in the in other news category. Like, why is the Biden's DOJ suing the state of Arizona? And what's happening when Border Patrol agents got a chance to go face-to-face with their boss, Alejandro Mayorkas? And what about TikTok being banned? And where was Buttigieg during the rail union strike negotiations? Well, he wasn't at work. I know that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you real quick. We talked about that weird story a while ago. The thing about the Tennessee Department of Transportation workers that went to their salt bins, you know, where they store the big piles of salt to put on the roads in icy weather, and they found a human heart in the salt. And it's been declared, yes, this is indeed a human heart from an adult male. And Boomer, we just got a text in from Graham from Meridianville who says, how dare they assume the heart identifies as male?
I know when we were eating that during the break, we just both died.
But then again, I almost feel bad for laughing because, I mean, this is probably a crime.
Right.
Why is a heart, anyway, but still, Grant, that's pretty good.
I was pretty good.
I got a caller on the line. Let me grab line one real quick. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good there, buddy. Hey, when you coming out with those Right Side trading cards, man?
Oh, man. I'm all for it. In fact, I'll be happy just to make half of what Trump made, $2 million. I'm fine with $2 million, and we will invite them to dinner at the Right Side Studios. How about that?
I mean, you know, you got Right Side socks, so why not Right Side trading cards? You know, hey,
absolutely.
You and Boomer could be on there, and it's kind of like I envision kind of like a Captain America
Boomer, we need to get on this. Now, his dad is a graphic designer, and Boomer's pretty good himself. All right, Boomer, we got to start designing some Right Side trading cards.
Right Side trading cards.
How do we find out how to make money on these things?
I want to know how to make them digital currency like this.
I know. Non-fungible trading assets is what they're called.
Hey, all you got to do is get Trump approved, man. You just need to email him and say, hey, can I get you approve these things for me?
Yeah. In fact, Mr. President, can we do one with you in the card with me? We'll just, it's like you in your superhero suit and me just standing there with my thumb up. Yay.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, but Jeff, I got to switch gears. Let me ask you this. You spend a lot of time on the road, brother. Have you ever driven down a salt-covered road and looked down and said, well, by golly, there lies a human heart right there on the road. Have you ever seen that?
Well, not yet, but I mean, where was this at anyway?
It was a Tennessee DOT, and I've lost the story now, so I can't go back and find it right off the bat while we're talking. But it was the Tennessee DOT found it, so it's probably somewhere in your traveling zone.
Well, I'm in Tennessee right now, basically, and only thing I can figure is you know the DOT encompasses the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and. Maybe they just ripped the heart out of somebody and tossed it in the can.
this is awful, though. I mean, really, you got to think, okay, first of all, was it a medical heart, like somebody was transporting it somewhere for, you know, a transplant? Or did something, like, really, really awful happen? The heck? And why was it in a pile of salt?
Why was it in a pile of salt?
I don't know.
That is the question.
And I want to know where the rest of the guy's at.
Yeah.
That's.
Right. In fact, I think they better start digging through that pile. Ain't no telling what they're going to find.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, he could have. Well, I can't see him just ripping a heart out. I mean, he would have been in a lot of pieces, I guess. But, you know, the thing about salt is and everything, it being white and everything, it should be easy to see something red like that in there. So, I guess it was pretty easy to spot.
You would think. And, you know, and that's the way they used to actually store meat back in you know, the old days. They would actually pack it in salt. And so, wow, it's probably preserved.
Kind of like Afghanistan, isn't it?
Oh, it's just kind of...
You probably seen some of that, didn't you?
Kind of eerie weird. No, we saw other things. What used to strike me in Afghanistan was, it was called Tapi, T-A-P-I, Tapi. And Tapi was where they just took sheep dung and they flattened it out into patties and stuck it on the side walls of their house. And then when they needed firewood or something like that and they didn't have any, they would break a piece of Tapi off and burn it. And that was their way of heating their houses and cooking their food on dung. It was weird, but
that's a new definition of poopery, then, isn't it?
Yeah, brother, that was poopery, and we used to call each other toppy heads once in a while too. But all right, man. Well, listen, we're up against the break, brother. You be safe on the road and watch out for human hearts and stuff like that while you're driving.
Anchors across the road as well. Yeah.
All right, we'll see you, Jeff.
Have a good one.
All right, we're going to come right back, folks. We're going to head to a break here in a second. We're going to come right back. I'm still in this section we call In Other News, and I'm going to get back to some news, but I got some great texts coming through right now, too, so I'm going to have to get to some of those. You want to text in? 833-687-4448. Or you can call in on the same number. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And I don't know if we're going to get to Dipper number three, Boomer.
I don't think we are today. And it's okay. It's Friday. Friday. Great, great talking points, talking about all kinds of cool stuff.
All right. Well, we'll cover down on what we can. How
That's
about
right.
That?
That's right.
That's right. By golly. Play the explosion for Friday. Friday! That's where we are right now, 4:30 p.m. Some of y'all are in go-home mode. It is about that time. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams and Boomer right here in the studio. We'll be right back, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay with us. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plane right, covering down on some ground across the northern part of our state. I'm talking about this show goes down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, thanks for being with us today. By the way, if you are at work right now, 4:35 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, I mean, it's about go-home time, y'all, and it's that time. And so some of y'all may be thinking, what am I, tomorrow morning, Saturday? It's Saturday. It's gonna be a chilly Saturday morning, and here's an idea: rather than messing up the kitchen, or rather than just having that bowl of cereal or some instant grits, how about this? Just Love Coffee Cafe for breakfast on Saturday morning. You hear me talk about them a lot. Now, they got amazing coffees. That's why they're named Just Love Coffee Cafe. They've got the treat coffee, Charlene calls them, like, you know, the cafe, the lattes, the espressos, the cappuccinos. They got award-winning dry roast coffee, grind the beans fresh, make you a cup of light roast, dark roast, medium roast. But they've also got amazing breakfast. I'm talking waffles. I'm talking the Womlet, which is a giant omelet with just about everything in it cooked in a waffle iron, hence the W, Womlet. They got biscuits. They got other things. I mean, the bottom line is this. The food there, oh, my gosh, it's good. So think about this. Saturday morning, kind of cold. You get out there. You're not getting the usual standard fare. You're getting some unusual, unique, great fare in a good location. Two of them in our area. One on Hughes Road in Madison out towards City Hall. The other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Check them out. What a great Saturday morning that would be. All right. Hey, listen, before I go any further, I gotta jump over. So we're in this section right now of the Triple Dipper called In Other News, and I'm about to talk about some things that have happened around the nation. But before I wrap that up, I had some great texts. Nick from Harvest. So Nick from Harvest is new on the text line, but he and his wife are not new to the show. They had some great, very complimentary things to say about how they've been listening for a while. They love the show. And he went on to say some things. And then he said, if I'm reading this right, Nick, thanks for listening and thanks for your service. He says he's a graybeard now after 23 years, so I'm assuming that means he's a graybeard, former military, just got out, and yeah, thanks for your service there, brother. And he also said, by the way, his wife's headed up to Tennessee right now, maybe listening to the live stream, and then he threw a joke in because he couldn't help it. He had to throw a joke in there. He said, today's political climate's like dealing with my ex-wife. Every other word you hear has you questioning their sanity even more and more. Blessings on you, Nick and Harvest. Graham from Midyearville had that funny thing a minute ago about that heart they found in the salt, about how dare they assume the heart identifies as male. And then Paul from Athens texted in right after that and said, it's probably a cis white male heart. That cracks me up. John from Pike Road. So Pike Road down yonder towards Montgomery Way. But John from Pike Road, he worked in that plant for a long time, and I'm pretty sure this is my friend John. Yes, it is. I scroll back up to verify. This is my friend John who used to live up here. He worked at that Goodyear plant, and he says in here, it's kind of a long text, he said that basically he says, I'm glad the plant was bought, but it's going to take millions of dollars to fix it. And I agree, John. You know better than I do, man. You worked there for so many years. I mean, that plant, by the way, was there, Boomer, for 91 years.
Whoa.
Goodyear operated out of that facility for 91 years. Thousands of people were employed there. Wow. At one time. But he says, John says in this, John from Pike Road says, in the old part, he says, where mixing was, it would rain so hard the roof would leak horribly. He said mixing rubber also takes steam, but the steam plant closed down, so it's going to be hard to do that. They have to get portable steam generators, he would think. He also said the rail system's in horrible shape, and the elevator system is older than him. It stayed more broke than it did worked. And anyway, we'll see what happens, John. I mean, and by the way, they have that new part of the plant. They built a new part just about the time I took office in 2010, thereabouts, that is far more advanced. And I would think the cleanup on this plant site would be significant also. But nonetheless, something's coming, and we're excited of it. I got one more here. What was this? Oh, John from Huntsville.
Oh, he had some funny things.
Oh, my gosh. What do you have there, bud?
So he was talking about those trading cards. Yeah. We should have those right side trading cards. The most valuable and rarest card is Boomer riding a camel while eating a donut and Phil doing push-ups on the hot desert sand with the Great Pyramid. I mean, that's...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's good.
This is good. All right. And then he has another one with something about saying Roll Tide and hugging the Alabama mascot, and I'm saying no. I'm putting the kibosh on that one right now. All right, let me jump back into the news. Let's do that. Story off the Daily Wire. So this is, by the way, this section I'm calling In Other News is making you aware of some stories that are a little bit more one-off. You might find them in different places, but they were not like big themes that I could run an entire dipper on, and they collaborated, though, with other stories to become what I'm calling In Other News. Got a story here from the Daily Wire. Pray tell, why would the Department of Justice under the Biden administration be suing the state of Arizona? Can you guess? If you said the border, you'd be right. So Daily Wire reports, as of yesterday, the Biden administration sues Arizona Governor Doug Ducey over his shipping container border wall. By the way, I think the shipping container border wall is brilliant. I remember seeing a stack of those at a shipyard somewhere and thinking, that's easy. Just take them. It's like Legos. It's like giant Legos. Just build a border wall with it. Next thing I know, I'm seeing the governor of Arizona and I believe Texas also filling in gaps in their border wall with shipping containers, stacking them too high. So far, they've got 6,680 feet of containers, which is what, mile and a half, mile and a quarter, through Cochise County. Well, the DOJ has now filed a lawsuit because, you know, they can't have anybody doing anything about the border because that'd be bad. U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona, the DOJ filed suit claiming that the border wall trespasses on federal property. Arizona has unlawfully and without authority failed to remove the shipping containers from lands owned by the United States or over which the United States holds easements, thereby damaging the United States. Have they thought for a second about how much damage is being done to the United States by the fact that there's not a border wall and they stopped construction of the border wall? Well, of course they haven't. Anyway, the bottom line is there's about a 10-mile gap that the state of Arizona is intent upon filling. And the governor said, you know what, forget you. Arizona's taking action to protest on behalf of its citizens with this lawsuit, because they sued back, by the way. With this lawsuit, we're pushing back against efforts by federal bureaucrats to reverse the progress we've made. So that's that. Just be aware. That's what happens when you have leadership, all right? Governor Ducey is saying, I'm not going to sit idly by and just let you say, oh, we're not allowed to do anything. We're just going to do it, and the court can tell us later to take it down if they want to. But right now, he said, I've got citizens to protect, and so there we are. All right, next story I've got. This one, speaking of the border wall, let me go through my stack here. Yeah. Story from the Daily Caller. You know, you hear about Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas doing nothing in his role as Department of Homeland Security's secretary. Like, what has he done for the border? And the answer would really be nothing. Border Patrol agents confronted Mayorkas in El Paso, and here's what was said. The Daily Caller was able to get someone who was in the meeting to give them insight as to what happened when Mayorkas came down there to meet with Customs and Border. Now, I will say this. Props to Mayorkas for walking in the room, all right? That's an unpopular dude, and he knows it. And he's walking into a situation where he is literally standing on a powder keg with his own employees. Border Patrol agents confronted Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas during a recent visit to El Paso, Texas, according to an agent who was in the room during the meeting who spoke with the Daily Caller. The agent who requested anonymity because he's not authorized to speak said a colleague confronted Mayorkas and accused him of making empty promises. So here's how it went down. Apparently during the meeting, it says, and this, by the way, I understand not bucking authority. I get it. There's a time and a place. But the tension on that border and the level of frustration by those who have been just not being given what they need to do their jobs. Says during the meeting, at least one agent asked Mayorkas why he hasn't fulfilled their request for additional border security equipment and instead has chosen to publicly slander them while they do their jobs. The agent said, you came here 6 months ago. You offered us cameras, and they were going to run about $2 million. You said you were going to get it for us, and then you departed, and we found out the money's not even going to be allocated for two more years. And then he says, you went to Del Rio, and you expressed yourself and talked bad about the Border Patrol, which was when he claimed systemic racism because the guys on the horseback were alleged to have whipped people, and they didn't. A senior Border Patrol official in the room tried to intervene, but the agent interjected, saying, no, let him respond to us. He's here. He wants to be here. Now he has to answer the questions that we got for him, no matter how tough they are. We're going to be respectful. We're not going to yell. We're going to treat you with respect, but we're going to expect some answers. You're not going to get away with pandering to us. That's a tense meeting. But, folks, if it gets to that point, you know, it should be, here's what should be happening. When the secretary of the department flies in from D.C. to meet with the troops on the front lines, you would think they would be glad to see the guy coming out to make a house call, so to speak, coming out to inspect the lines, coming out to see the troops. They don't like him at all. They have no respect for him whatsoever, to the extent that this is not the first time they have called him out in the meetings. Well, that's a clear indication of where the Biden administration is on the border. And if we don't start seeing some control of the southern border very soon, I fear for what's going to happen. I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again today. We have already seen an actual percentage point of our population grown in the last 2 years under the Biden administration. Literally, just through illegal immigration, they have added another percentage point to the population of the United States. Think about it. If your border's so out of control that illegals now make up a percentage of your nation, what does that say about your border? It says you don't have one. There's that. Last story for the break. If you heard my monologue earlier, and I hope you did. If you didn't, you're always welcome to go back to our podcast. By the way, our podcast goes up every day after the show. Boomer takes the show. He posts it up, and then he also breaks it down into segments. So if you want to hear just a part of it, like just a monologue or just an interview, you can download those. We're at almost 102,000 downloads now of the podcast. And so if you want to hear a part again, you're welcome to it. It's on Apple. It's on Podbean. It's on it's out there. It's everywhere. Just go to your favorite podcasting source, type in Right Side Radio, and you'll find us. And give us a rating if you would, too. We'd appreciate that. But, man, we've seen a spike. Am I looking at a spike in your bar graph over there? Holy smokes, it went up.
Yeah, it was a big spike. Wednesday was a big spike.
Wow. All right, folks, listen, the podcast, that's when they were trying to get you some extra podcasts before you had to do push-ups. Last story I've got, freebeacon.com. You heard me say in my monologue about Pete Buttigieg being gone. Well, it's turning out right now that Pete Buttigieg is not only gone when he's supposed to be at work negotiating on major transportation issues because, oh, that's right, he's the Secretary of Transportation. But we're also seeing that he is probably flying on private jets while he's doing it, despite the fact that he's extolling the virtues of green energy and reducing carbon footprints. Yeah. Buttigieg quickly jetted off to Portugal on August 29th, a week before the Amtrak began canceling all of its long-distance trips. Secretary of Transportation, Amtrak Transport. The Labor Day weekend travel was a long-planned personal trip, says the Department of Transportation. However, it was also kept quiet. It was not publicized. He even had a couple of social media posts that made it look like he was in the United States. Nope. 2-week trip to Portugal with his partner so they could have some personal time at the vineyards, sipping on libations. News of Buttigieg taking a vacation at a time of high-stakes negotiations in the transportation industry come as he faces anger from rail workers over the results of their contract negotiations. One person pointed out, I think this is actually Senator Josh Hawley, Pete Buttigieg will take a paid vacation in Europe for days on end, but doesn't think that rail workers get more than one more day of sick leave. The same guy who took months of paid leave at the height of the supply chain crisis for his paternity leave. So, yeah, keep that in mind. He and his partner adopted a child. And so right in the middle of the supply chain crisis last year, he took two months of paternity leave. How Buttigieg traveled to Portugal is a mystery. Since assuming his transportation post, Buttigieg has been known to take 18 different flights on private jets despite his calls for green transportation. All right, Boomer, I ran long to finish up that piece of the triple dipper. It was turned into a double dipper for the day, actually. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back and wrap it up on Friday. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. By the way, folks, I got to tell you, the folks at ZLA Solutions, kicking. I was talking to some of them this morning. They are doing an amazing job at getting people in jobs connected. So if you're looking for a job right now, and we know that there are people out there looking to get back into the labor force, which for whatever reason have not truly come back to the labor force since COVID. If you're looking for a job, go to their website. That's ZLAUSA.com for ZLA Solutions. ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over North Alabama. Great jobs, good employers. Check them out there. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, man, they can do that for you. I mean, they help you with a lot of business solutions. They can help you with your shipping and logistics. They can help you with your warehousing, sorting and containment, quality control. But their bread and butter, man, is staffing. So if you are looking to staff out your business, could be onesies and twosies, kind of niche skills, or it could be a whole shift of folks. Doesn't matter. Blue collar, white collar, no collar. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, and they will outfit you with the staff you're looking for. You check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Okay, hey, listen, in the final moments here, I got to go back to the text line because that's been fun. We had several weird stories today that were a part of the Second Dipper. We had the weird thing about the heart being found in the salt pile by the Tennessee Department of Transportation. Still want to know what's up with that because it apparently is a human heart. So we got to put some kind of a Google search on that one like Monday and get an update on this thing because that's just all right. You got that? All right, good deal, tech man. All right. By the way, I had Allison from Madison, JT from Lacey Springs, and Paul from Athens all text in regarding Governor Ducey in Arizona building a wall out of shipping containers, and they remembered yesterday's show when I talked about there being a shortage of shipping containers, and every one of them said, aha. In fact, Allison actually said, aha, we found the answer to the question of why we have a shipping container shortage, and a dang good answer. Ingenious, she said. Allison from Madison, same kind of answer from JT and another one from Paul. How about that? Then Jeff from Indiana texted in with regards to the trading cards that Trump had. He says the best trading card will be the one with, he calls it Colonel Phil and Boomer apprehending the Biden crime family. He says, I'd pay for that one. He actually ends his text by saying, hee, hee, hee. It's like an evil little giggle there at the end of his text. All right. Well, listen. Yeah, it's been a great show, you guys, and we got the Right Side Christmas gathering this evening. I'm looking forward to that. Gonna do some eating, gonna do some visiting, and then back here again on Monday at 2:00. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Hope you have the opportunity to spend time with family, maybe get a little rest, and then hit the week hard for what for many of you is going to wind up being a short week because Christmas is right around the corner.
Which means a lot of you will maybe be traveling, so stay safe.
Or shopping. I used to pride myself on getting all my shopping done on Christmas Eve. It was like a thing.
Christmas Eve?
Well, I take it back, the day before Christmas Eve.
Wow.
All right, so
wow.
Yeah. Wow. But I used to, it's like, okay, I'm going to make my list, and I'm going to find all the sales, but, you know, times have changed. It don't work like that no more. No. Not when you got kids and in-laws and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandbabies and...
Too much.
Ain't gonna work that way. All right, folks. Phil Williams and Boomer, you guys have an amazing weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2:00.